The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Just be seated. Welcome to the timer, please. Welcome to another exciting edition of Living Your Dreams. Marriage and Family Conclave. Every month, I think either the third week of February, the third week of every month, if I'm not mistaken, my assistant may need to give, third week. The third week of every month, we gather families. The first section that starts at 8 and ends about 10, if there is prayer, it will end at a bit after 10, is for married people. Then the second section is for unmarried people. All my life, I have been passionate about family, especially some of the things I've gone through. I went through turbulent times growing up because of polygamy in my father's house and all of that, and all the intrigues and complexities and complications that go sometimes with polygamous homes, and then going through some issues that has to do with inner wounds and unmet needs. Left me a little bit more broken than I was prepared for. I got into marriage with all those wounds. However, I married a very wonderful man who found out that inside me there is a longing to see families return to what God originally intended. So that took me through a search since 2006. But very recently, God just blessed me with a very wonderful husband. In the last 2 years, I've been on very intense study and research on marriage and family, and almost completed my program on marriage and family therapy, okay? Training under James Dobson and all of that. We went through every aspect of family. Intense, yes. Took a toll on me, yes. But I appreciate God for a husband who says, I married you not just for you to look after me, but for me to also look into your life and find out what God put there originally. And those are the things that I have gone through. So anywhere you meet my husband today, on my behalf, just help me appreciate him. It took him time. Even to get me to start reading took him time. Because sometimes when you have gone through brokenness, you find out that you do more of listening and watching a message than reading it. But by the time you have gone through, you have come out from some kind of brokenness and you're moving towards healing. Some of the things you were created to do will begin to come back. There is something called redemptive gift. Some of your redemptive gift, you don't even use them again. They become perverted because of the things you have been through. So this section will be talking to parents about teaching your children about sex. I noticed, I said to myself, I'll first of all talk to parents about their families before I come and talk about parenting. I discovered that you can't talk about parenting without talking to them about their relationships. So each time you're talking about them parenting their children, at the same time, you are talking about their relationship. So we'll be answering a lot of questions today. Me, I don't know whether it's me or maybe I should have called. Okay. So what we're going to do today is about 60 minutes or 50 minutes of a group discussion on talking to our children about sex. Have you noticed that when you hear the word sex, it looks as if the earth should drop and people should fall inside it? Yet we don't have the same experience when we're talking about business or we're talking about romance or we're talking about any other word. Any other word doesn't cause the kind of problems sex. The question becomes, how do I talk to my children about sex? So let's look at the introduction. So I'm going to ask you first of all, we're going to get a microphone. What has prevented parents from talking about sex with their children? Does it make you uncomfortable? Do you feel some kind of discomfort when you start talking to your children about sex? I'm going to run, I have a long time. The next thing we're going to discover is some parents get embarrassed when they want to talk to their children about sex. And some parents do not know how to go about it. Where do I start from? What should I tell them? My three-year-old, my two-year-old does not understand what I'm talking about. We're going to look into all those issues and where you should start when you're talking to them. So these are some of the reasons that parents have a problem with talking to their children about sex. Well, the fact is that if you don't talk to them about sex, someone will do it. Who will now do it? Maybe the media culture. If it's not media culture at the playground while they are playing with their friends, you will discover that someone will talk to them about sex. And some of the things I noticed, that even when they are done with physical education, and maybe they are trying to bathe and change their clothes, and then they begin to talk about their body parts. Say, yours is too long, yours is too small, and all of that. Your child will come home embarrassed. Someone will talk to your children about sex. And since someone will talk to them about sex, you better start talking to them about sex yourself. So that someone will not give them wrong information. And sometimes some of the places where they get this information from is not healthy. So you have to now take the responsibility to talk to children about sex. I did this survey. This survey was one of the surveys that we did in our school. National Survey of Family Growth. Of course, this particular survey came from the US, but we hope to get the one from Nigeria as we move on. 55 in a group of 15 to 19 year old, 55% of boys and 53% of girls had admitted to having sexual intercourse before 19. 55% of boys and 54% of girls had engaged in oral sex before, that is between 15 and 19. So they are no longer virgins. And 14% of girls said that by age 25, they have engaged in same-sex behavior. They have engaged in homosexuality. That is 14% before they get to 25. It also means that even the homosexual community have had an impact on our culture and our children. So you can't keep quiet and say, I can't talk to them. They are not ready. They won't understand what I'm talking about. Let's look at men's addiction to porn. In the 60s, a boy is exposed to porn between ages 11 to 13. Today, it has gone down to age 5. It is happening on the internet. Children are using technology, so they will be exposed to it. So don't wait for pornography, for porn, to tell your children about sex. Take the initiative and tell them by yourself. Because once they stumble into it, assuming they are doing their assignment on the internet and something pops up, sometimes a picture pops up on the internet, you click on it, it has something to do with porn. In fact, there is an advert some companies do. They will use a naked woman to do that. All of these pop up. If your child sees that for the first time and you are not the one that told the child will have some kind of shock and does not know that this kind of thing exists. You notice that your children, when they get a little bit older, they'll start asking you, Mommy, where did that baby come from? Children do not have the link that a baby, it is through sexual process that a child is born. They don't know. Some children have asked me that question. And if you say, this baby was inside the auntie's stomach, I say, it's a baby. How did it enter there? So you must now take time to explain it to them so that they are not shocked. Life does not shock them. The question becomes, what kind of visual images are our children taking in? The earlier we start talking to our children about sex, the better for us. It is our responsibility to be the one, because you don't want them. There are images that will disturb them for life. I met a young man who has been addicted to porn for 25 years. That's at the time I was talking to him 2 years ago. He allowed me to share the testimony. We took him through an inner healing and discovered that the addiction broke. So he said he just remembered for the first time how he started. He said he was at 7. He came into his uncle's house, his elder brothers, and all of them were watching pornography, and he saw it, he was dazed. He wanted to run away. They said, sit down, you'll be a small boy. So they sat him down. He was watching porn like you watch cartoon. From there, he became addicted to it. Now, whether we like it or not, porn is everywhere. Everywhere. If you go to a video shop to go and buy a video, you will see a line up of pornography. If your children are going, send your child to go and buy CDs. Even if they're going to buy Nathaniel Bassey's music or Mercy Amedu's songs, they get there, they pick Mercy Amedu's latest album. As they are coming out, there is a lineup of pornography. And listen, even the pictures are there. Don't go too far. Now, businesses, nightclubs, use naked women banners to express their businesses. Your children are seeing it. They are not deaf. They are not blind. So, what has prevented us from talking to our children about sex? The first one is the original sin. When man fell, shame came. So, our body parts, originally that's supposed to cause us any discomfort, we became ashamed of our body. Now, you can say I. Nobody is wondering what you're saying. Nobody gets uncomfortable when you say I, when you say ear, when you say nose. But when you now begin to talk about the body parts that are private, everybody gets uncomfortable. Because at the fall of man, everything fell. At the singles part, unmarried people, I'll be talking about how to redeem your sexuality. I'll be taking them through the process of redeeming their sexuality. All right? Because even sex is crying out to be redeemed. Sex, the gift of sex, will look at itself and say, this is not what God intended me to be from the beginning. Sex will look at different aspects of life. Sex will look at childbirth and said, childbirth has not been violated. Instead, it has even improved. How come is me that is being deteriorated? And just like Nigeria is crying out for to be redeemed from corruption, even sex is crying out, the gift of sex is crying out to be redeemed from perversion and corruption. And I trust that our generation will do that. So what prevents us from talking out to our children about sex is first of all our discomfort and our shame that came from the fall of man. And you find out that the body parts that we're supposed to talk about very easily and very free, very openly, everything becomes secret, because the moment man fell, he started hiding, he had shame. So we need to know that there is nothing wrong with your body parts. You need to talk to, and when you're talking to children about sex, you won't use code names. You will use the name they are supposed to be called, so they will know there's nothing wrong with it. So my objective this morning is to get you to have a deeper understanding of your own sexuality and God's plan for your own sexuality. God has a plan. You need to understand yourself before you help another person. That's what they say in the plane. My second objective this morning is the importance of discussing sexual issues with our spouses. You understand it? Discuss with your spouse. Then the third one is to learn the basic principles on how to talk to your children about sex, God's design, the gift of sex. There is a way to talk in every age category. If your child is doing 0 to 3, that's how to talk to them. The next stage, 6 to 9, that's the way to talk to them. So time will allow us and we'll get to all of that. All right. So let's dive in. So what is God's plan for sexuality? So I'm going to ask first question. Where did you learn about sex first as parents? Where did you learn about sex? Bring microphone. The first time you learned about sex or you heard about it, where did you hear? From your church? Why is everybody looking at me? Some people have not been able to survive the fact that this woman is not talking about sex. So of course, feel so uncomfortable. Get used to it. Where did you learn about sex first? Okay, some of us, is not it. Primarily, is it in our churches? Did you learn it from our fellowship centers? Okay. Quite a few of us learned at home. Some of us learned from the barber shop. Some of us learned from the boys' club. Some of us learned at the playground. But most essentially, the right places that are supposed to be teaching us about the gift of sex are not doing so. So if you're going to talk to your children about sex, you must understand your own story. Now, question. Have you ever talked to each other, that is you and your spouse, have you ever discussed your own sexuality by yourselves? Because that discussion is what will form the game plan on how you will talk to your children about it. You know, sometimes when you want to talk about this, they say the boys should talk to the boys, the girls should talk to the girls. I'm going to get to all of that. Two of you must discuss your own sexuality. You must talk about it. Now, if I'm now going to start talking about sex therapy, I will even start going into the areas of I hope there are no children here. Even in sex, Even in sex, couples should be able to discuss freely how you want your husband to touch you and how you want, what works for you and what does not work for you. You don't sit down on the bed like a log of wood and say, do quickly and come out. And most of us have also been broken in this area that it is a taboo for you to talk about at all. You know why I'm saying this? It's easy to talk to your children about the negative part of sex, what they should not do, what they should not do. But let's now start talking to them about what they should do. Are we together? What should I teach my children? What both of you have discussed becomes your subject matter for discussion. And when you're going to talk about them, it's not just, for, like I said earlier, for two of you talk about it differently. Let's talk about it together. It's not a taboo. There's nothing wrong with it. Secondly, still on your own story, what did you learn about sex in the media? What did you learn? You know, sometimes when you look at the media, it looks as if everybody is having sex. Children are having sex. Everywhere, old people are having sex with young people. It seems to be everywhere. I remember when I was younger, there's a show they used to call Bill Cosby's show. That show starts, I know Bill Cosby had just had problems, that show starts and ends, there is no sex. Even when they talk about sex, they are talking about it in a way for you to learn. I remember when one of these episodes, Bill Cosby's wife was talking about menopause and all her children, she was having heat flashes, and then her children were all panicking. All right. In that, they are teaching, they are expressing something. I remember a show when I was younger, it's called Masquerade, Zebudiah. There's nothing about sex. But if you take what we have today, what is the media teaching our children? Take your child's cartoon, whatever age, the pictures and the images that our children are getting today is that everybody is having sex, and if you're not having sex, there's something wrong with you. Then the question becomes, what are the myths that you grew up with when it has to do with sex? The things you learned that were true. Now let me ask you a question. Those things, is it true that people are everywhere, or everybody, all they are doing, they don't have work, all they are just doing is sex? Is that true? My mom taught me, the only sex education I got from my mom is a wonderful woman, very wonderful. The moment I started menstruating, she called me. Just one talk. He said, if a boy touches you like this, you'll be pregnant. So, I didn't connect that touch is not touch of this touch. I asked her, is it when this blood is flowing? He said, from now on, if a boy touches you, you'll be pregnant. So you know what I do? Anywhere I see a boy, I will run like this. If a boy touch me, I'll be crying. Then I'll be pregnant. It was my biology curriculum that made me know that it is not just touch of hand like this. So there are things we learned about sex that is not true. And we need to debunk. For instance, our parents, our mothers taught us, for those of us who are married, that it is your husband that must ask for the sex. That when they ask, you give. If you ask, you are spoiled. Is it true? Look, see the way everybody is sitting still. So even if your body is asking for, the woman will not ask so that they will not say she's spoiled. So there are other myths that you need to find out. Because those myths, you're going to transfer to your children. Unconsciously, those things you learned about sex that is not true. Everybody is having sex. Everybody is doing it. If you're not doing it, something is wrong with you. A young girl told me yesterday, she walked up to me. Her sisters, she has about four sisters, all of them mysteriously became pregnant, mysteriously, and left home at a tender age. So they are now telling her that is a way of life. That you see, you have gotten to this age now, you are now 20. Any boy that just says anything to you, just follow the boy so that they can start providing for you, they start giving you money. I sat down. It took me 40 minutes. I started debunking that myth. Now, when I talk about your children, I'm not just talking about children you gave birth to. There are children that have become your children based by association, by covenant. There are even people who submit to your influences and tell you to mentor them. They may not say with their words, but that's what they mean. I took 40 minutes and explained to her what it means, that you don't get into marriage because you're looking for a boy who will bail you out of poverty. That's not the reason. And I explained to her the consequences of those actions. So you see, and the mother even told her, said, this thing your sisters are saying, if you see any boy at all that just likes you, just follow so that they can take care of you. You see, if you take in that myth, you will give it to your children. Anything you believe, you pass to your children. So you need to be careful. That's why we're dealing with you. This is a research that was done by Chicago University. People who are monogamous in marriage and have not acted out outside that marriage tend to be happier in marriage. The same study shows that those who wait to be sexually active in marriage also tend to have more contentment in marriage and family. Again, science is catching up with God. This is what the Bible says. All the scientific evidences points out to one thing, that the word of God is true. So you can't play with your marriage in the terms of someone somewhere is catching your attention. You need to watch it, because your contentment is your own. Going forward, the question becomes, what did one learn about sex at home? Did you learn it when they were going to teach you about this sex? Did your mother take you to one side and your father took you to one side? A man was saying of a story. This study was done by Mark Laser. Mark Laser is a leading speaker, author, and had sexual addiction for years. He wrote a book, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction. And then this research was done from him. So I'm talking from talking to your children about sex in case you want to do further studies on it. You that is listening to me now, what did you learn from sex at home? From your mother or from your father? That conversation, was it a one-time conversation like I just showed you? Mine was a one-time conversation. And many times when we talk to our children about sex, some of us come late. In other words, before you talk to them, many other things have already spoken to them about sex. The media have spoken to them, their friends have spoken to them, have seen pictures, they have picked up things. What you are now coming to say, they have already heard. So we need to do it early. I said that it is our parents' responsibility to tell us, but sometimes what we tell our children is, if you get any question about this thing, ask me. What question would this child ask? Maglaza was saying that when they were going to tell them about sex in school, what they did was that they carried all the girls to one place and then they put up and locked the door and closed all the hooks so that the boys were not here. And they carried all the boys to another room and then they put on the projector and showed them all kinds of sexually transmitted diseases, that once you have sex, any of those things will happen to you. You see, most of the time, what we say to our children about sex is, if you have sex, you'll be pregnant. If you have sex, you have a sexually transmitted disease. But the positive things we need to say to our children about sex, we're not saying to them. And this conversation is in the direction to get us to begin to talk to our children about sex. All right? Let's move on. So, what did you learn about sex at school or church? If you did some biology, they said some things about sex that's a bit mechanical. What do we learn about sex in church? If you have sex, you're committing fornication, you go to hell. If you're committing adultery, you go to hell. So, is there not so much more? It's a product we should study because we're going to use it. If, whether we like it or not, young people are using this product without knowing how it works. So, let's now see how you're going to talk to your own children. This is about you. For you, you and your husband must have a healthy, you must talk about it yourselves. You must change your views. That's the summary of that. You and your husband must have that quality conversation too. You must also change your belief system, your beliefs and the myths you have about sex. Now it's time to talk to your children. Before talking to children, understand the images you receive from other places and how it has influenced your thinking. If all the images you received are negative, it has influenced your thinking. and it will affect how you talk to your children. Like I said, if you have sex, you'll be pregnant. I do inner healing. I'm an inner healing therapist. Most of the times when people come to our office for inner healing, we notice that what their mothers do is, a girl was telling us a story. I can't remember where this is. I was telling the story. He said I got a phone call. Our television, our program is on international platform. I got a phone call from a particular lady, and he says, "Oh, someone wanted to marry me. I became pregnant. I don't want to marry the person." So he encouraged the person to abort the pregnancy. The pregnancy was aborted. 6 months after, this is this conversation now, he now wants to get married to the person. He's not asking me, how am I going to say it, seeing that only 6 months ago, I refused this marriage. And I said, "So why do you want to marry?" And I said, "I don't know. Maybe the pressure that all my friends are married, I don't know. I don't really know what it is, but I feel I can't make a good wife." I said, "Why do you think so?" He said, "Most married women are complaining about their marriages. They say marriage is prison." He said, "I've never met any married woman who has something good to say about marriage. All of them say that marriage is a hell." He said, "It's hell." He said, "The way they talk about it, I'm so afraid. I don't even want to marry, so I won't enter inside the prison called marriage." And then I laughed hard. I said, "No, it's not true. This is my 18th. I'm getting to my 18th year. It looks as if we're still in a honeymoon. It's not because my husband is a pastor. It's just because before we got married, we made up our minds that since both of us came from families where our parents didn't quite have very strong relationship among ourselves, that we won't spend our adult years reliving our childhood. We made up our mind then. And then we also went beyond." Pastor Ben is the kind of person who says, "I am loving my wife not because my wife deserves for me to love her, not because the character is good or is bad. I'm loving my wife because I promised God I will." And then I took a stand. My submission to my husband is not because he's a good man or a bad man or he deserves to be submitted to. I'm using all of those words in parentheses. I'm submitting to him because I promised God I will. So what I'm doing to him is a worship unto God. And what he's doing to me is a worship unto God in spite of. So everybody have decided to manage himself. If you manage your space and I manage my space, so I'm not going to say, "Oh, because you didn't show me love, I'm not going to submit to you. Because the way you spoke to me now, you didn't speak to me like a princess I am. Don't you know I'm a sexual therapist? Don't you know I'm a marriage affirmer? Do you know who I am? I'm a woman that is invited. How can you be talking to me?" That's not important. I've made up my mind that submitting to him is something I do to God. I'm not doing it to him. So each time I submit, I'm worshiping God. So if we begin to bring other issues that is not Bible, then it will damage what we are doing. So back to the girl. She said, "Is it true?" I said, "Yes." But while I was talking to him, somehow I began to have prophetic impressions. I said to her, "I just sensed that something happened to you while you were a child." She said, crying, "I've never seen her before." She said the driver that was taking her to school defiled her on the way to school. And she said the uncle next door defied her. So she went to tell her mom, Mel. The mom beat her and told her, "Don't ever allow anybody to hear this. If they hear it, they will take it to the police and it will become national news, and then you won't see my husband, and then your life will be damaged." Most times, in a bid to protect something, someone is completely destroyed. So we must talk to our children about sex. Not from the negative side. Everybody who is a mother, not just because you gave birth, but there are people you influence. We must all take the responsibility to understand the product and know that our images, the images in our hearts about sex, will influence what we say. How we see it is how we will say it. Like I said, talk to your spouse about sex. The more you talk about it, the more comfortable and prepared you will be the first time you're going to talk to your children about sex. Let it be a normal discussion both of you discuss. The more comfortable it is there, the time you're going to talk to your children. It's just like people are talking about school fees and all of that. You just turn around and talk. If you don't talk about it like a taboo and say, "Please, there's something we're going to talk about today." Or you lock all the doors and lock all the windows. The children will be so afraid. I say, "Hey, the thing we want to talk to you now is sex, sex, sex. Then you turn to your daughter. If a boy sleeps with you, you'll be pregnant. Oh, you turn to your boy. If you sleep with a girl, you'll be pregnant. You haven't said anything. What you have just done, you have just scared life out of them. They will see sex as something so weird, something you have to do in a, is something, it, they will say that's a product you should use. You know, how you present a matter is important. There's a difference between good morning and good morning. You said the same thing. All right. So if you're going to share this story, if you want to talk to your children about sex, you must be willing to share your own story of how you understood sex. Your own story, you must be willing to share it. So don't make it intimidating. Don't intimidate. They need to know that some of the struggles they are going through now, you went through it after in your own life. They need to know. Yesterday, my husband was teaching my son about wet dreams. So whenever you wake up and then you discover that there is something in your body and it's as if you urinated and it's sticky, please, can we talk about it? Let's talk about it. And then he saw something on the young man's breast. I said, this thing happened to me as when I was... And then he started sharing his own stories of the mistakes he made while he was growing up with in the areas of sexuality and all of that. He said, at a time, some things happened to me and I was exposed to things like this. My son said, are you serious? So that they will know that they are not alone. They will feel relaxed and know that they can talk about their challenges. If all you say to them, any day you touch porn, I will kill you. The day they encounter it, they won't tell you. Do you know, some of them is in their phones in school. It is in school, they share it. If there is a free talk, it's not intimidating. Then when they come home, they will be able to tell you, look at what happened today. Oh, my son had told me one day that they were moving around. So what is it? He discussed, Mama, do you know what they were? They were looking at pornography. He talked it with me. You have to discuss it, create an environment for them to know that there is nothing we can't talk about, nothing is a taboo. But you must begin from your own story to give them a platform to talk about their own story. Praise the Lord. You must talk about your experiences about sex. And then, of course, there is age-appropriate discussion. You must talk about your thoughts, what you thought it was before you now began to have better knowledge on how it is. You and the children are sharing stories. If you have a spouse, one of the things that we encourage people to do in this area is, if you have a dysfunctionality in your sexuality, you need to talk to a counselor or a therapist about it. It's important. Your sexuality is a part of you. There must be someone who understands that some of us need sexual healing. Some of us need healing in our sexual lives. Some of us, you discover that, you can say I'm saying some of us, some of us will feel that I'm condemned. So that some of us, you still have a lot of problems with masturbation, even as a married man. And some of us, it is you have to masturbate before you can sleep with your wife. And also you see that the masturbation even makes it difficult for you to sleep with your wife. I'll be talking about pornography at the single section. One of the things we discovered in pornography, after you have been exposed to pornography, the transition from porn, what is happening in the porn, the idealized standard image you see in the porn, to real life experience relationship with a human being is difficult. I will explain. If you are watching a movie and it's a fictional movie, they're talking about science fiction and all of that. There are some stunts. Sometimes you're watching a movie, I've not been watching a movie recently, but you saw that the main character will run, and just like Superman will fly from one building to another building, nothing happens. Your children will see that thing and try to demonstrate, to respond. The same way, if you have watched pornography and now you're having sex with your spouse, you want to repeat the Superman move that you saw in porn in real life. It's so challenging that the more you try to reach out to it, the more you try. So you'll be trying to go into higher levels of arousal. You'll be moving for higher level of pleasure. From that point, you will enter addiction. I'll be talking about this in the singles part. I have a graph where I'm going to show them how you can go from this and enter addiction. Because there is a combination. Let's go. Let's come here. Let's come back here. So if you have a challenge with your sexuality, you need to talk. You need to get healing. You need to get healing. Otherwise, when you're going to talk to your children about sex, you will talk about it from your broken places. You talk about it from there. Just like women who have been broken in marriages, when they're talking to their daughters about marriage, they talk about it from the broken places. They don't bring it from Bible view. They won't say, this is what the Bible said about men. This is what the Bible said about women. This is about what the Bible said about the roles of men. This is about the roles of women. They will now be talking about marriage from your experiences. Our experiences does not validate. It's not the word of God. The word of God is the word of God. Now, you can't use your experiences to explain the word of God. You now, when you have finished the word, you can now say, from the word, this is the things that my encounters with the word. You can't say because your marriage did not work, therefore marriages don't work. You can't say because the husband you married is very dysfunctional, therefore all men are dysfunctional. Or can you say, because the wife you married is not submissive, therefore all women are wicked? You have experiences where a man will do something so bad to the woman, and the woman now uses that to color everybody. That experience is not supposed to color life. If that experience colors life, when you want to talk to your children about marriage, you will move to that default setting without knowing. It's like what I say, that if you have bow leg, and they say, attention, the leg will not change immediately to do at ease. It will still be like that. The same way, you want to talk to your children about sex, and your brain, the landscape of your brain is in a bow-leg position. That is what you relate to your children. It doesn't make the information you have related true. It just means that you have spoken from your brokenness, from the perverted part of you. That's why you must first of all get it right inside you before you want to help someone else. Are you having trouble? Now, I'm talking to couples, even if you're listening to me by way of television. Are you having challenges with your sexual life? An average couple, and on the average, you're supposed to sleep with your wife. You people are supposed to have sex on an average of 2 to 3 times a week, on an average. If you're having less, some people can do more if they can. In fact, some people can do every night if they can. Some people are laughing behind. What, did I say something wrong? Someone said, is it food? Now walk, yeah? Okay, I'm not saying do every night. I'm saying that for it not to be present in your marriage again is bad. For it not to be present in your marriage again is bad. It's supposed to be there. All right, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your family. Now, are you having problems with your sexual life, couples? You and your husband, are you having problems? Like I said, if you're dealing with sexual dysfunctionality, you need to deal with it. Let me ask you, would you be willing to share your stories with your children? I said you'll help your children to relax, so you know that their challenges, they are not alone. What do you think God's design for healthy sexuality is? We're ending, so you can ask questions. God has it. It's God that created sex, so. It's not Nollywood, it's not Satan, it's God that created it. Like I said one day, Adam and Eve were making out before God, and God was watching them, and God called it worship. Even if they use blanket to cover themselves, the Bible said there's no way you can hide from it. Was before God. Did God drive them away from the garden? No. Sometimes we try to talk to our children. You say, he has eaten the forbidden fruit that Adam and Eve ate, that made God chase them out. No, God did not chase Adam and Eve out of the garden because they were having sex. Let's correct that. No. He chased them out because they disobeyed. In fact, they made the decision. They betrayed God. The first time we saw that sex was used, the Bible said Adam knew his wife. The word knew is a deep word. It means experience, intimacy. So, where is sex supposed to happen? The sex is supposed to happen, if you check Ephesians chapter 5, check Genesis chapter 2, sex is supposed to happen within the context of marriage. So, sex is for husband and wife in marriage. I chose my words. Some people are living together, they are not married. Even if you live together and you have 300 children, you are still not husband and wife. Except the father of the woman now say, I have given my consent. If those families did not say that, what you are practicing is not marriage. Someone said, it's not marriage. What is marriage? It's just a certificate. Then go and get it now. It's just a paper. It's just a document. Go and get the document. Husband and wife, not boyfriend and girlfriend, not engaged couple, not people who are trying to check if you know how to do. In the second section, I'll be talking about some people think that the frequency of sex is what makes you an expert. Sex is between husband and wife in marriage. Why is it in marriage? I will explain to you too. Number two, sex can only be expressed to its fullness as a spiritual experience with one person. Sex is very spiritual. Those of you in Femme Foundation, you have heard that. No need for me to overflog it. Sex is a spiritual act. Because sex cuts in the soul. It brings your soul and the soul of the person that you're married to together. So even if you're not married, Mel, you sleep with someone, it means there is marriage. So there are many people who are praying for marriage who are married. Unfortunately, that marriage happened before Satan. Listen, when you have sex with someone you're not married to, you actually worshipped, did a worship. But you just bowed down and worshipped Lucifer, the dragon and his surrogate spirits. Sex is that spiritual. That's why in the Old Testament, in the temple courts of these people, you have temple prostitutes. When people are coming to worship, they first of all have sex with the temple prostitutes. And that's why God forbids idolatry before they come into worship. So sex is a spiritual experience. Even as a married person, if you have slept with someone who you are not married to, automatically you are married to two people. The Bible says he that is joined to a prostitute, the word prostitute actually means someone, it not necessarily means sex worker, it just simply means someone you're not married to that you just slept with. So marrying, sleeping with someone you're not married to turns you into a prostitute. That's one. Sleeping with someone that you're not married to gets you involved with people you have no business getting you involved with. The only problem is that it will begin to affect the contentment of your marriage. And it will begin to affect the happiness that's supposed to be in your marriage. Because in your mind, unconsciously, the mind will begin to do comparisons between this person and this person. And if you have indulged in that experience, sometimes it becomes very difficult to reach your height of arousal when you now want to sleep with your wife or your husband. It's very dangerous. Number three, sexual satisfaction is not about frequency or variation. That is, the more I sleep with you, no, it's not about it. The more I sleep with different people, the more I'll be satisfied. No, sexual satisfaction is about sex being consummated in the context of marriage union. What do we mean by that? Paul was the one that said, if you can't, for you not to burn, get married. Now, many of us need to understand what Paul is talking about. Sexual satisfaction happens within the context of marriage. Do everything and pick up the message I'm going to preach in the second section. Because I'll be talking about several things. I'll talk about porn. I'll talk about cyber sex. I'll talk about all that. Because I'm talking to people who are not married, so I'm going into different other aspects. Sexual satisfying, deepening, deep fulfillment within sex, in sex, happens between two. God is the one that put it there. When you're married with your wife, you are satisfied. Tomorrow I'll be dealing with Songs of Solomon. I'll be teaching from Songs of Solomon. Once we start talking about, I will talk about sex from Songs of Solomon. So it's a closed garden. So my beloved is a garden sealed. The Bible says you should drink water out of your own cisterns. It brings satisfaction. If you have slept with someone who you're not married to before you got married, had sex outside before you got married, and then if you check the two, you will notice that it's not the same thing. With the person within marriage union, it is satisfying. Outside marriage union, it starts taking you in the areas of addiction and perfection, and higher heights of addictions and perfections, because of the combination of adrenaline and the sexual hormones, the excitement that comes, that combination, in a bid to reach one height that doesn't exist. Number four, lust is a selfish act. Purity and monogamy is selfless. Look at what happens. If you're sleeping with someone you're not married to, you are using the person to satisfy your sexual lust. You are using the person to quench your fire. That's selfishness. But within the context of marriage, it is selfless. In other words, I'm here to serve you, and here you're here to serve me. I'm here to make sure that you are fulfilled. That's what I'm here to do. You're also here. It's not now. We must understand, men, that the point is not to use your wife to satisfy your sexual appetite. It's also to make sure that the woman herself is satisfied. So you must ask her. Women do not move at the rate of men. Most women do not move at the rate men move. A man moves fast, and then he stands fast. For women, you must take them through seasons, through romance and all of that, talk, for you to put them in the mood first. Before you now, so it's not fire brigade approach. You just on your mat, get set, go. It's not. Am I talking to someone? So sex happens between two people who are there to serve themselves, who love. Now, when it has to do with your children, don't just teach them what not to do. Teach them what to do. I'm going to show you the things you teach them. So let's look at the basic principle of talking to children about sex. Number one, don't assume they don't just want to talk just because they seem uncomfortable when you are talking with them. And it's not one talk. It is not one talk. You talk there, you won't talk again. It is something, the way you talk, you talk often. You and your child, people are this, except you don't have a relationship with your child. Make it a normal, natural, ordinary talk, so that it's not Christmas talk. Remember that when I was young, they used to sew Christmas clothes for us. There are some families who used to eat chicken only on Christmas Day. Please don't make sex like that, so it doesn't look weird. Talk about it. Your children, sometimes when they are climbing, you are talking to them and they are climbing, they are hearing. If you want to know if they are hearing what you're saying, another day when they will bring up what happened, you will be shocked that child was listening. They are hearing. I have a lot of children around me. The things, in fact, now, they say they spend 9 months in the womb. They actually spend 9 months, but if you say it, they spend 19 years. Because they come out more intelligent than you and say things that are amazing. So these days, if a child doesn't want to laugh, there's nothing you do to that child to laugh. Bring the best skills of laughter. The child will couple up. Don't assume because they are quiet, they are not listening. They are listening. Don't just talk. Don't assume it's a one-time talk. Now, you talk with your friends. You practically talk everything. Talk with your children. Take the time. Take time. Sometimes you may need to watch these cartoons they are watching to see the things they are watching so that you can explain. Have you picked up any cartoon recently? You can see that there are sexual contents in the cartoon. Have you tried to take a teenage movie, a teenage program? Watch it. There is sex. Sometimes it is subtle. Sometimes it's overt. Sometimes it's openly done. You need to take time to see what this, even listen to the music they are listening to. It's not enough to say, don't listen to this music, don't listen to this music. If you listen to it, it will destroy your soul. They have heard. When you're not around, when they are listening to it on their phone, you won't know. When they are listening to it in the school, you won't know. Let them hear the music so that two of you can talk about it. And I said, when we're going to talk about sex with our children, let's do it together. Husband and wife together. In these days of Skype and WhatsApp video and Facebook video, let's do it together. You know why? If your husband is talking to your son alone about his sexuality, your son is going to leave the house and he will meet women who are talking about menstruation. He should be able to understand that he will marry. And when he marries, he should be able to understand a woman's sexuality. And so when he is working with a woman as a young man, he should treat the woman with gentility and in an honoring way. They need to understand all of that. That's why they should talk about it together. Be positive, not negative. And don't just say no. Also have places where you say yes. Don't talk about sex when you are angry with them. Don't talk about sex when you're angry with them. When they have, there is a way to talk to children. Children can also feel broken by the way we talk. There is a way to talk to children. One of the things we're going to treat in one of the topics is effective discipline strategies. When our children have goofed, using the negative to try to bring the positive is not the right approach. Always tell yourself, the same value you place on yourself, place the same value on your children. If you say foolishness abounds in the heart of a child, rod of correction, then you now go and bring chain and say chain is rod of correction. You don't talk to your children about sex when you are angry. If you're angry, you're talking about maybe they have done something wrong. Or maybe because you just discovered that your child was doing something with the neighbor next door. It happens even in our churches. In places where people go for wedding. So our sisters are getting wedding. They are doing well. Let us go and visit them. Things can happen there. It is important that if such a thing had happened, don't use anger. Don't use anger. Let's talk about what happened. A girl you bring into your house can start to touch your children. A boy you bring, when it has happened with your children, don't use anger. Because if the child knew better, would have behaved better. Anger does not solve the problem. Control yourself, and then let's talk about it. And some of us also, you have been in a place where you are blaming yourself for things that went wrong. You can't remain in that blame forever. Count your losses, move forward, and then come back to talk about it. It's not late. Now that you're here, you can go home tomorrow and talk about it. Let's now talk about age categories, then I'll free you. Different age categories. 0 to 3 year olds, how do we talk about them? Now, at this point in time, you are teaching them about toilet training. Teach them about the different parts of their body. What is it called? You are laying foundation for sexual behavior. A man said that they wanted to use the toilet in a place. The place was full and the child was pressed. So he took the child outside and they weed. Another day, they were in a mall and the child wanted to weed. The child didn't look for toilet at all. The child just went somewhere where the mall and wanted us to start weeding. And the wife was so angry. He said, no, he saw us doing it. So he thinks it's a way of life. At 0 to 3, you must show them their different ages, their different parts of their body. What is it called? Don't say chom chom chom. No, this is called. Yes, Don't use derogatory names. Don't use derogatory. Call it what it is. Am I talking? This is time to start teaching them self-control, how to control their bladder, how to control themselves in the terms of their body parts. I'm just giving short, but you can take time and read just talking to your children about sex by Mark Laser. About their body parts, how to control themselves, even toilet training, the areas of pampers. You want them to stop wearing pampers, you have to do the toilet training yourself. Teaching distinctions between male and female, you have to explain to them why he's different from this person. What are the major differences? What makes you different from this person? So, which means you must know yourself to be able to teach that to your children. You cannot only say to your children, what makes you different from your brother is because your brother has chom 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 and you don't have chom chom chom. No, you can't say that. That's not enough information. You must even go to say to them, you see, in the womb, it gets to a certain month, when your brother in the womb went through a process. I call it that men go through what I call brain damage, either at month four or all about. Some hormones are released, one part of that brain goes off, and then the female part starts forming from the male. So at the point of fertilization, it's not differentiated. Just a little information for them to know. And they can even go to talk about roles, that the role of this person is so and so and so and so. So you are not the one that will marry this person. Is this person that will marry? Just small things like that at this age. Then in the age 4 to 9 years, what should you talk about? Teach the basic mechanics about sexuality. Basic mechanics. So this is what happens. This is what this is used for. This is what this is used for. Then, because of time, when children have appropriate information, they are less likely to engage in inappropriate behavior. Don't make it a secret. Teach them. Modeling healthy sexuality as parents is key to healthy sexual attitudes in one's children. I told you that healthy sexuality is about being sacrificial. Well, it's not just about me. It's about both of us. You must model what you want to teach the children. Okay? And then the 10 to 13 year old, at this time puberty is happening. And if it's for the boy, he will start having some kind of thing on his breast. Even for the girl, start having some kind of thing on her breast. You must teach the boys what that thing is. You must teach your girl what and what and what. Puberty have certain. This and this and this and this are the things that are going to be happening. You must teach them all of that. And then you must now do abstinence education. Don't just say, hey, let me tell you, I'm warning you, if any boy touches you, you are finished. You will just be pregnant. Your future is finished. You won't go to school again. In fact, you go born and you go carry out. That's not education. That's not education. Teach them what the word of God says about abstinence. Teach them why they should stay away. Some of the things we have taught in church that you didn't listen. Some of the things we are teaching you when you were younger. When you were younger and living your dreams, you didn't even use them for your own dating process. Now you have given birth to another human being. You have to now teach them. All right? There is a website, The New Fight, the new drug. It's called Fighting the New Drug. The new drug is pornography. But teach them. A young girl said to me that what the mother does is, if the mother sees her with a young man, the mother will say, come here. If you get pregnant, you will give birth in this house. It's after some time, the mother don't too threaten them. Say, if I born now, you go carry him. You see, when you push children too far, they will respond. Teach proper abstinent education. Proper one. Then, masturbation. And now they're asking us if masturbation is really sin, if the Bible said they should masturbate, if the Bible said they shouldn't masturbate. Simply put, tell your children, masturbation just simply means that you're thinking about sex. And the Bible says if you look at a woman lustfully, it means you have already committed sin with her. That if you're masturbating, it means that you're thinking about sex. And you're not supposed to be thinking about sex at your age. It means you have to teach them all of that. And then from inner healing perspective, masturbation is actually an unmet need in the area of comfort. This would damage their sexual orientation. I was saying, people, if you allow your child to participate in a sexual behavior that is not appropriate or something like homosexuality, it will damage the landscape of the child's brain, because the brain is very plastic. Brain is plastic. And it will take some kind of word and therapy to reshape that. So this is what you teach, the masturbation. And if you have challenged with masturbation as a married person, you need to go for a therapy, you need to go for counseling. And then for those of you who have teenage children, what do you teach them? Teach about their own uniqueness and development apart from their parents. Teach them that one. This is where you start now talking about identity, getting them to know that who they are. Like I told you about the young girl who came to tell me that the mother is asking her to start having sex with men so that she can have money. And I started explaining to her, I said, see, What makes you who you are, what makes you important and valuable, is that union we have with God. And if you can put focus on that union you have with God, it can begin to create changes around you. You must teach your teenage children who they are in Christ. Apart from your parents, you must teach them who they are. And then you must help them develop safe friendship. If your children at this age are thinking about dating, tell them you are free to date on one condition, that you allow me to give you counsel. God has helped us. We have raised teenage children, raised big children, raised small ones. You are free to date. As long as it's not a secret, you allow me to give you counsel. You must let them know the protocol between dating someone. They must understand the ethics. They must understand simple things like telling them to show them the spirit of the person. You see, many of you here, you were young when we started teaching Living Your Dreams relationships, Living Your Dreams campaigns, 2006. Some of those messages you didn't listen to, you will need it now, because your children have come to teenage age and you may need to need those messages to train them. And some of you may need to attend the singles part, because those resources, you need them to train your children. You're going to talk to them about dating. You won't leave them to just date anyhow. And it's the information you have that you're going to give. Is that not true? What is safe friendship? When your child discovers that some hormones there is in body don't scatter, how do you see all those things going on, all those inherent feelings going on, doesn't mean that the child have sinned though. Someone must now tell him how to steward what he's going through, what he's feeling on his inside. Say, I'm feeling something. You must teach. It's what you know you teach, is it not? Hey, help them develop relationship with God. This message will be ready, I think, a week or two after we have preached it. I may even get it now if it's possible. We spent 30 minutes praying for families. And you know, we have two sections. So I'm going to give us time to ask questions, and then we're going to spend time again praying for families. If you have any question on talking to your children about sex or any other area, okay, someone has a question.
Amen. My question might just be different a bit from what you've talked about. Actually, I wanted to know the role of age in marriage.
Okay.
Especially when the female or the lady in question is older than the male.
Okay. That's a beautiful question, except that I would have loved to answer it in the second section, but let me just answer now. When you talk about age, are you talking about, we'll be looking at age from two different dimensions. We look at the maturity and the exposure of the person who is getting into a relationship, either male or female. We look at the maturity and the exposure. Then you are also looking in the aspects of biology. And then we're also looking at the physiological development and all of that. The question is, how far apart are they? How far apart are they? If you want to marry, if the girl wants to marry a man who is 10 years older, she should also know that, number one, the man will always look at you as a child. You are his wife. But when the time comes, he will remember that you are a child. If that is okay, then it goes with you. It's okay for you. Okay, if a woman decides to marry a man that she's 10 years ahead of, she must also remember that there is something about men and women. Women seem to develop faster, to mature faster than men of their age. So, which means you might be marrying your son. If he doesn't have the, it's now up to you to make up your mind what you want to do, if you're going to marry someone like that. If you look at that instance, that most times women mature. If you take your brother, you may be 2 years older than your brother, or even 1 year. You discover you are far ahead of your brother. Or you check your cousin or your friend, who is, two of you are the same age. You discover that you are, although you are biologically you are the same age, but you are far ahead. You are more mature than your brother, because girls are given responsibilities. more while they are growing. Of course, now we're trying to change things. At the time when we're younger, everything that has to be done, most times they give it to the girls to do. And there is something about responsibility, it brings maturity. The more you solve problems, the more you become more expert in solving problems. All right? So in that aspect, I now leave it up to the girl to make up her mind, whether she wants to marry this person, and then constantly dote him and babysit him. It doesn't happen all the time, but maybe there are some men, I don't like putting rules, but there are some men who have matured in, but it's not in the majority. That's how I will leave that question. I will leave it for the person to make the decision that if you marry a man that you're 10 years older than, these are some of the consequences. Then you might also be lucky. And he's older, he's more mature than you. You might be. But don't say it's me that told you to marry. Then if you now begin to bring it down, in my place, there's something called age grade. In age grade, it's people between 2 to 3 years. You might look at that. That could work. All right.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.